Nothing is fixed forever and forever and forever. It is not fixed. The earth is always shifting. The light is always changing. The sea does not cease to grind down rock. Generations do not cease to be born. And we are responsible to them because we are the only witnesses they have. The sea rises, the light fails. Lovers cling to each other and children cling to us. And the moment we cease to hold each other, the sea engulfs us and the light goes out. And this week's opening quote comes from James Baldwin. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Even as each of us are completely unique, and even though each of us are completely individual, each of us has our own complete unique perspective, each of us is very much an island in a sea of humanity. We are still very much part of that sea of humanity. Even though we are each individual and each separate from each other, we are all very much connected as well. And people very much need the support of the people around them. They need to know that there are people around them who respect their view and respect their opinion, people who care whether they wake up in the morning or not. You know, people are essentially quite frail. People are really like children. Even if they're adults, they still have that inner child. And people need to know that there are those around them who support them and who care about them. And humanity in general, when you look at the species as a whole, it's almost like a whole group of frightened children. People get to a certain age in life, they grow to a certain height, and they suddenly believe that they know everything, and they believe that they can live their life separate from everybody else, but really they can't. We are all in this together. And that's why we will never be able to emancipate ourselves from this system individually. It has to be done as a collective, as alluded to in the opening quote. If we fail to hold on to each other, then the sea will engulf us. That's the simple fact of the matter. But again, and as I've said on a couple of shows recently, it's a fine line, because in order to free the collective, we need to free ourselves individually as well. But we can't just free ourselves individually and then think the job is done. It's got to be a collective thing. We cannot simply free ourselves and think we can step outside of the system, because it is the system itself which is doing all of the damage. So no matter how free we become individually, unless we address the collective and the collective slavery system and the damage that it's doing, then nothing is really going to change. And I think it's very important, it's extremely important, that people keep that in focus and keep that reality in focus, because it is a reality. You see, mankind will never be truly free until all of mankind is free. I've said so many times, you can't rise from the masses, folks. You are part of the masses. And while there are other people who believe the system is real and are still operating within the parameters of what is essentially a slavery system, then this slavery system will continue to do the damage that it's doing to the planet. That's the thing, you know, you can't ignore this system. And why would you want to? Because the people that are running the system are destroying the planet. That's what created the need or the desire for you to want to leave the system in the first place. And yet, if you leave the system and turn your back on it, it's just going to continue to destroy the planet. So why would you do that? Why would you want to ignore that? Because if you do choose to ignore that, then you're just allowing it to continue on its merry way. And apart from that, there are still people that are trapped within the Matrix that believe the system is real. And the people that are trapped within the system are just as valid as you. They're just as valid as everybody else. And it's not good to forget these people. It's not good to leave these people behind. I mean, I get mad with people sometimes, and I say, look, these people are all stupid. I look at the police and I say, these people are all stupid, otherwise they wouldn't be police officers. But then, you know, they've been programmed to be this way. And I don't hate the police with what I say, folks. I'm disappointed in them. I'm disappointed that people would put legal parameters above moral parameters. You know, because as far as I'm concerned, if there's any legislation which interferes with your moral compass, then not only should the legislation be ignored, but the people who enacted the legislation should be removed from office. It's as simple as that. You can't just say, oh, you've got to do it because it's the law. It doesn't work that way for me, folks. If it interferes with morals, if it interferes with my moral compass, if it does harm, then I'm not interested in following its parameters. That's just the way I feel about things like that. But the thing is, folks, that we can't leave people locked within the system. We need to help people rediscover themselves, because we need to take all of human consciousness on the journey with us. And it helps to understand that people are the way they are because they've been programmed to be that way, and that ultimately they're just frightened children, and they are the way they are because they simply don't know any other way to be. Very often this is the case anyway. And really, when you look at the problems that we're facing, I mean, there's so many of them, but as I've said so many times, and as many other people are saying now as well, the remedy to the problem is really simple, folks, because ultimately all of the problems, all of what we perceive are problems, are simply symptoms. They're symptoms of the fictional reality, the fictional meme that people believe is real, the society, the social structure that we've constructed, and the parameters that we're forced to adhere by within this society. See, that's what's destroying the planet. And really, when you look at the species within it, you look at humanity within it, it's like a whole bunch of frightened children. It's like human consciousness has been shattered, and people are clutching at straws. They're clutching at anything they can to give themselves some type of validity, to give them some sort of validity in their lives. It seems to be what people are searching for, something that makes it all worthwhile for them, something that gives it meaning. You know, look what I did. I spent all of my time collecting all of this stuff, and I've got this pile of stuff I can stand on now, and I've got a bit of spare time so I can travel, so I've been successful. You know, and we've got people who believe this is what life's about. They've got to spend their life working so they can have that little moment of freedom at the end. And the result is this fractured consciousness that we have, this fractured state of human consciousness that we have. It's quite remarkable when you step back and look at it. It takes a long time for people to wake up to the scam, but people are waking up to it. I mean, people are spending their lives climbing over each other to get to the top of the pile. And then they get there and they think, but what was it all for? What does it all mean? Because it really ultimately doesn't mean anything. Now, it's not you. It's not anything that you are. None of the stuff that you collect is what you are. None of it makes you who you are. And all of the illusions that they sell you of what will make you happy, you do these things and you find that that is not what happiness is. Happiness isn't following the designated path or indulging in the prescribed activity. That's not what happiness is. Happiness isn't doing what it says in the book. Happiness really is knowing who you are and being free to express yourself to your fullest potential. Knowing the people around you and seeing these people express themselves to their fullest potential as well, and helping them express themselves, helping them rediscover themselves. This is what happiness is. Happiness is being connected to life, not being connected to stuff, not following designated enjoyment plans mapped out for you by other people within the parameters of a constrained social system. And people are beginning to realize this. People are beginning to realize that they've been sold a lie. And that really all this society does is provide people with distractions while the world is raped around them. And that's really what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. When you look at the planet, there's some very, very serious problems going on this planet. There's some very, very serious issues we have to deal with. And we're not dealing with it because people are kept distracted. And really, it isn't just the distractions that people go through as well. I mean, even with what I do and what much of the alternate research community does, what much of the alternate media does, it's attempting to present this information to people in a manner in which they can readily understand it and easily assimilate it. You see, that's why I've done the same radio show in so many different ways for a couple of years there. I did virtually the same show for 2 years, and it was just the same information, just presented in a slightly different manner. Because we've got to find a way of packaging the information in a manner so that people can understand it. Something that's going to cause that penny to drop. And I believe you can say things in one way to one person and they'll get it, but the person next to them won't, so you need to say it to them in a different way, and then they'll get it that way. And so that's why I tried that approach for so long. That's the thing. We've got to find a way of packaging this message in the most concise and easily understandable manner that we can. Because very often the truth scares people. Freedom scares people. Even with the recent Babylon Has Fallen document, to come back to that, people understanding how the name works. A lot of the people in mainstream society, you present this information to them and it terrifies them. It absolutely terrifies them, because what they perceive by people doing this is they perceive the construction of a lawless society. And people are terrified that a lawless society will result in crime and violence and rape and murder and pillage and plunder, and everybody will die. That's what they believe. They don't understand what self-governance is. They don't understand what true anarchy is. And people are terrified of freedom. They are terrified of self-governance because they perceive self-governance to be a state of rampant crime. That's all it will be, because people don't know how to govern themselves and all they're going to do is steal from each other. They don't really look above it and say, well, why would this happen? Well, of course it happens because of the economic system that's been imposed over our minds, because we believe commerce is real. We base our whole lives around commerce. We believe we have to pay to be alive. And so everybody's kept in a constant state of scarcity due to the imposition of the economic model. That's what it's for. That's its only purpose. And so this is why people would resort to crime in a state of self-governance. And in this situation, in this current economic situation that we have in the world today, in the current social climate of the world today, were we to suddenly resort to a state where everybody was suddenly free of their name and were in a state of self-governance, that is exactly what we would have. We would have a state of rampant crime, simply because nobody is addressing the monetary system. No one's really looking at that. And that's why it's so difficult to bring this type of information to people in general, you know, society at large, because people are terrified of the information and they're terrified of the thought of a lawless society. And so we need to find a way of really packaging the information in a concise and easily understandable manner, so that people can see the bigger picture of what's really going on here. And it's a difficult thing to do because it's such a large picture that it's hard to put it into a 5-minute presentation. It is important, however, when looking at all of this stuff, not to become narcissistic about information. And by saying this, what I mean is when people go on a path of self-discovery, there's often a lot of residual programming running, and people often lapse into, shall we say, states of ego or states of narcissism when they become privy to certain knowledge. People often get tunnel vision. This is what a lot of the New Age movement did with people. People got to a certain level of spiritual awareness, and then they got locked into a bubble of what was essentially spiritual narcissism and inaction. And very often in such a state, these people have tunnel vision and they become closed to any information which is contrary to their chosen belief system. And that's what all these things are. They're all chosen belief systems, folks. And it's the same, a lot of it, with the free man movement as well. When people become privy to certain types of information, they get tunnel vision and they become closed to other information. And you've always got to keep yourself open, folks, because there's always going to be higher harmonics. You know, as human consciousness evolves and we think we've found the golden key, which we have believed we've done so many times previously, then we always find that there's another harmonic. And as human consciousness continues to evolve, this is how it happens. This is how it's going to continue happening. There's always going to be higher harmonics. And it is about self-discovery, yes. And it is about self-empowerment, yes. And it is about self-autonomy and self-sovereignty. But it's also understanding that there's only one self and we are all part of the self. So we have to do it on an individual level, but we cannot leave the collective behind. You know, I believe that we are all indelibly connected to each other and to this earth. I really do. I believe that the earth is truly our mother. This is where our life comes from, this planet. The planet is conscious. It is alive. I've felt this consciousness. I've had incredible experiences with the consciousness of this planet. I've felt it. I've communed with it. I've communicated with it. And I know that we are all connected. I know that this is a collective thing. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that. I really do. And in order to keep that in mind and to keep it inside and to continue to evolve consciously, then we need to always keep our minds open to information and never ever believe that we've found the golden key. Always be open to the next step and allow the next step to happen. And to never ever lose sight of the fact that we are part of a collective. See, the problem is that just establishing your own individual freedom and stepping away from the system allows the system to continue. That's why, as I've said so often recently, it's important for people to still keep one foot in the fiction. Even once they free themselves, even once they understand how their name works, by keeping one foot in the fiction, they can speak to the rest of the population in a language that they understand. And they need to, rather than simply walking away from the system, they need to start turning and facing their public trustees, or the public trustees of this society, the elected trustees, the elected officials of this society. We need to start turning our attention to these people and using our newfound power, our newfound knowledge of who and what we are, as a tool with which to rein these people back under control. Because if we don't, then this system is going to continue. And it's going to continue to do its damage and wreak the havoc that it is around the planet. That's what we need to address, folks. We cannot turn our attention away from this. We need to use the knowledge that we are acquiring as a tool, a mechanism, which can be used to help address the situation this planet is in. Because by doing it that way, we can not only address the situation, but we can also wake up the people around us, because we can demonstrate to them the mechanisms that are available to them should they wish to step up to the plate and also address the situation on this planet. Because we can change things. See, that's what I mean. All of the problems that we've got, folks, these are all from Western governments. And what these tools are providing for us are tools that we can use to rein our Western governments in. I mean, even the reason the Third World and all the other countries have these military regimes is to protect themselves against Western governments, to protect themselves against Western corporatism. So once we can dismantle this corporate structure by stepping back into our own power and turning to address our public trustees, whether we voted for them or not. I mean, I didn't vote for any of them. I've got nothing to do with these people. But if I've got a united community, then I'm prepared to stand with a united community to rein these people back under control and turn the ship of state and have it sailing back off in a different direction. That would be great. And address this monetary supply, address a lot of things, because that's how we can change things, folks. But we've got to step into our power ourselves and do it as a collective and turn and address this system. We've got to address the situation that we're in. We cannot simply walk away from this system, folks. There's too much going on. It's doing too much damage to the world for us to, in all conscience, use any tools that we've got to just free ourselves and walk away from the system. We have to address the system. Well, I believe that we do anyway. That's what my conscience dictates anyway. I can't free myself while allowing the world to be destroyed, because any illusion of freedom that I was attaining would be simply that, would be an illusion. Because as I said previously, folks, you can't just strut around in this prison and think that you're free simply because the prison itself is what is destroying the planet that you're being free on. People really do need to view the world holistically. And it's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing for people to understand the importance of their individuality, but then to also realize the importance of understanding that individuality, that individual perspective is actually part of a collective, and that each one is very much dependent upon the other. You can't have growth in one area without growth in the other. It has to be that way. And that's why you can never have any real change come about on the earth without bringing about a real change in the collective. You won't ever have any real change to the individual. You might get some, but you won't ever have real freedom for the individual until there is freedom for the collective. Because it's the system. The system is the problem. And as I was saying before, folks, if the system has been such a problem for you that it's caused you to wake up and to take the steps of learning that you have undertaken in order to rediscover yourself and to find your freedom, then why would you want to turn your back on that system? Because obviously the system was so detrimental to you that it forced you into wakefulness. Shouldn't you now turn and address that system? Because obviously you woke up because of the damage this system is doing, not only to you, but to the world and to the future, to everything. So we need to address that. We need to realize that that's what this period in history is. It's the period when human consciousness comes back online and we actually get the opportunity to address this system. Because that's what this is. It's an opportunity. All of these things are opportunities, folks. I've said this to you a million times as well. All of these problems are opportunities. And that's what we have to realize. And that's what we need to embrace. We need to embrace the opportunity. We need to act on it. And that's why we need to be careful. We don't just get locked into a bubble of sovereign narcissism and go wandering around thinking that we're free. We really do need to realize that what we have attained through this, what we've attained through our new knowledge, is the strength to actually stand up and turn and face the system directly. Look it in the eye. Stand and face the powers that believe they be and call them out. You can't just walk away from them because these people are psychopaths and they'll keep destroying the world. But we now have the power to call them out. And we can do it collectively. We can. We can do it in such a way that it will awaken the people around us very, very quickly and very clearly to the fact that this is a slavery system. And the fact that these politicians are criminals. They're stealing from us. That's all they've ever done is steal from us, folks. As I've said to you many times, that's the purpose of government. The purpose of government is to appease the people, while the wealth of the nation is stolen from them. That's the only reason government exists, folks. It certainly isn't because we need it. It's there simply to make us think that everything's been done for our best interests and we need the people there to look after us. But really nothing is being done with our interests in mind and we don't need these people to look after us. And in fact, looking after us is the last thing on their mind. They're not looking after us at all, folks. They're simply appeasing us as we're stolen from. You see, that's all government has ever done, ladies and gentlemen, is stolen from us. But then it's a weird concept, even the concept of being stolen from, because in order to be stolen from, you need to first own something, do you not? But ownership really is a fraud. So what is it that's being stolen from us? Well, it's our energy. As I've said before, this is what they steal from you, folks, is your energy. And the only way they are able to control the world and control the earth is because they've tricked people into believing that ownership is real. Because you can't own the earth, ladies and gentlemen. If anything, the earth owns you. But it's this concept of ownership and this concept of wealth. These things are what has provided the environment which has allowed us to be enslaved the way we are. And even with the free man movement, a lot of people are still trapped in the whole ownership program. A lot of people, when they discover the free man movement and they discover the fact that there is a corporate system here, one of their main motivations for wanting to become free, in inverted commas, is so they can access what they believe to be their bond, their trust account. They believe that there are millions of dollars there with their name on them that the government uses to trade with them on the stock market. And whether it's true or not is irrelevant, folks, because it's the concept of ownership that is the problem. I mean, your motivation for being free is so you can access all of this perceived wealth in the form of money is ridiculous. I mean, money isn't wealth. What is wealth is health and life, vitality, you, freedom, the freedom to do what you want to do and be all that you can be. This is wealth. Money is not wealth. Money is there to provide scarcity. That's its only purpose. But even with people's motivation for freedom, often that's what it has been. So really their hearts have not been pure right from the start. Their hearts have not been in the right place when they've been attempting to gain this freedom for themselves. It hasn't been freedom that they've been after. It's been financial security that they've been after, which is a very different thing to freedom. Then you see, it's a program, folks. The whole concept of ownership is a program. It's a pathological program. And there are so many programs that are installed into people's hard drives along the way. This is what the education system is about, the indoctrination system, disguised as an education system. It's actually quite insidious, the education system, folks, and it's gotten even more insidious as the years have progressed. Back when I was a child, they at least used to teach you a little bit of stuff that was useful. Now they really don't seem to teach the kids anything useful at all. Well, they teach them how to be a functional cog in the big machine. They teach them how to read and write, albeit not very well, but they do teach them how to read and write. There's actually been some schools that have been suggesting that we don't need to teach children how to write anymore because they have typewriters, and so they don't need to indulge themselves in learning anything as useless as handwriting anymore. I can't believe that schools would actually be even suggesting that, but yes, folks, there are some schools that have suggested it. But suffice to say that the modern education system certainly does leave a lot to be desired, and what it functions as is essentially a programming system, an indoctrination system that prepares people to be functional cogs in the big machine of society. That's unfortunately what the modern education system has become. Now, one of the most ongoing and most important plans of the powers who believe they be, something that they've been undertaking for a very long time, is the breakdown of the family unit in Western society. This is a very, very important step that needs to be taken in order to establish the control system that is being brought in. And this is because families are traditionally very strong. Families always support each other. And if you can break down the family unit, then you remove people from their support group. I mean, sure, people are always going to have the support of their friends around them to a certain degree, but blood ties are a lot stronger, and that is why they want to sever blood ties with people. You'll notice in European families and in Middle Eastern families and traditional families, they have very, very strong family support groups, whereas Western society, it's all about throwing the kids out of home as early as possible and every man for himself. Throw people into the debt slavery system and let them fend as best they can. And always teach people that the grass is greener on the other side and things can be better if they step away from their family. Don't let your family hold you back. You know, this is the type of stuff that is promoted to our children these days. And a lot of it is done through the education system. As I said, folks, the education system is really become something that is quite insidious. It's far more of an indoctrination system now than what it was even when we were children. And it was very bad when I was at school. I complained never-endingly to my teachers because I didn't believe I was being taught anything worthwhile. And that was 40 or 45 years ago when I was going to school, and it was bad then. But now it's even worse. And not only is it worse, but the children are being programmed a lot more, and a lot of it is aimed towards breaking down the family unit. This is all being done through the education system. For example, in modern schools, they have school counseling programs and what are essentially coaching programs. These programs are designed, we are told, to motivate children into independence and standing up for themselves, standing up for their rights and becoming stronger people, stronger human beings. And there are student counselors that are there to provide support for students. But what really is the type of support they are providing for these kids? One of the things it would appear that they are suggesting to many of the children is that if things are not good at home, if things are not going your way perhaps, if your parents are really not what you want them to be, then there are other options. One of the options, of course, is for you to go into foster care. And this seems to be a trend that is happening in Australia, most especially in Western Australia. There seems to be many, many cases of children reporting to school counsellors or police that they are having troubled home life in order to get placed into foster care for various reasons, and not always the reasons that the children are suggesting. Sometimes the children are simply not happy with their parents, and so they're wanting new parents who may provide for them a little bit better, and this is the option that they are employing. And it would appear that these options are being suggested and promoted to the children by school counsellors. By way of an example of this, recently a case has been brought to my attention which concerns actually a friend of mine who is someone I know quite well and someone whose character I can vouch for. And what has happened with this gentleman is that his daughter over the past year, his daughter is currently 14, this is of course a very difficult time for young girls, 13 to 14 years old. She has been becoming increasingly difficult over the past year, making demands, wanting to go and stay at her boyfriend's place, who lives 30 kilometres away. I mean, this is a 14-year-old girl, folks, let's get realistic here. And she's been wanting to have an iPhone. And of course, he can't afford to buy her an iPhone. And what she's been telling him and threatening him with in recent arguments and tantrums she's been having is that she'll be able to get an iPhone once she goes into foster care. Now, he's been wondering where these ideas have been coming from. But she said it repeatedly, that once she goes into foster care, she'll be able to get an iPhone. And if he doesn't allow her to have an iPhone and allow her to go and stay at her boyfriend's place, she's going to go into foster care. And he doesn't understand how she could possibly even say this. He went out for the day, went to Perth for the day, went back to the small country town in Western Australia where he lives to find that his house had been raided that day, because his daughter had reported that he had been molesting her, and now she's been taken and placed into foster care. He, of course, hasn't been molesting her. The case is ongoing. He is going to be going to trial for this case later in the month, and the lawyer he has defending him has informed him that this is an ongoing trend in Western Australia, that many girls, many young kids who don't get what they want from their parents are claiming molestation so that they can be put into foster care and they could be showered with gifts by their new foster parents. I imagine the young girl probably has her new iPhone 5 already, and if the housing arrangements that have been made for her brother are any indication, then it would also appear that she is now currently residing in the same town as her boyfriend. And this appears to be an ongoing trend, and it also appears that this trend is a result of coaching that these children are receiving from school counsellors. So I suggest that you look very carefully at what is happening at your child's school and have a few conversations with your kids, folks, and see if they're receiving any coaching from school counsellors. See if there is any suggestions of foster care being made to them, and perhaps discuss cases like this with them, just to see if this is an ongoing trend right across the country, because it wouldn't surprise me if it is. That's just how low these people are willing to go, folks. And of course, once these kids are in foster care, then anything is possible. They could be subject to any type of abuse. And of course, they do not have the strength of the family unit or the support of the family unit around them to afford them any real protection. And if recent reports that have been coming in are anything to go by, it would appear that the Australian Child Protective Agency or Child Protection Services are a black hole into which children seem to disappear, never to return. It's also very much suggested, as it is in most Western countries, that many of these child protection services actually serve as
supply agencies for pedophile rings anyway. And reports have suggested that such is very much the case in Australia, and I would suggest that it's the same in most of the Western world. And that's why Child Protection Services act so aggressively to steal children at every opportunity. And this appears to be an ongoing trend across the country, folks. So, yeah, just check up on what is being promoted to your kids at school. And you see, this is why it's so important to pay attention to what is going on around you, and why it's so important to pay attention to the many aspects of the control grid that is being brought in and the many mechanisms that it employs to train and program people. Because all of this stuff is going on in our peripheral vision if we just pay a little bit of attention to it and see. You know, the mechanisms that are being employed to train society and send society down a certain path are all around us, folks. That's what I mean. It's one thing to establish your own personal freedom, but what's being taught to your kids? What are these children being trained into thinking? And to think that these type of suggestions are being implanted into our children via school counselors is very insidious, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, of course, there are some children who do have terrible home lives. There are some children who do get molested and who do need counselors and who do need to maybe put into protective custody or taken into foster care or whatever. I'm not saying this sort of stuff doesn't happen. But when you get an impressionable teenager of 13 to 14 years old who's simply not getting what she wants at home, and you start implanting suggestions into their mind of how they could manipulate their life to make it a little bit better, then you're creating a very dangerous scenario. And of course, you're creating a situation where vulnerable kids are being thrown into dangerous situations where they're liable to go down any path at all. And you know, just the fact that they are prepared to stoop this low shows, well, just how low they are prepared to stoop. And it also shows something deeper, because what we're really facing here is the result of pop culture programming as well. The fact that a young girl would make false accusations against her parents in order to gain an iPhone and get to see more of her boyfriend shows what happens when peer group pressure is taken to the extreme, and what happens when pop culture affects people. When people believe that they are their possessions, they judge themselves by external parameters. The young girl believes that her iPhone will make her a better person. It will make her equal with her peers. She'll be part of that club now. And without one of these devices, she is a lesser person. And again, folks, this is the result of programming. And it's very insidious, folks. It is. It's very insidious when you see just what this type of mentality does to people and to what extremes it can be taken. And of course, this programming also exists within movies, within games. It exists in teen magazines. It exists everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. It's this constant need for peer approval for everything you do that's ingrained within people. This used to be ingrained into children at a very young age with shows such as Teletubbies. I don't know whether you remember Teletubbies, but there was a show that came out years and years ago. It was a British television show aimed at young children, and it was these creatures who had televisions in their stomachs. Of course, this is great. We teach the children to be programmed by television at an early age, but none of the Teletubbies would ever do anything without all the other Teletubbies approving of what they did. So it was instantly programming people not to think independently, not to act individually, but to always act in a group and to always seek approval of your peers, and that peer approval was everything. It was very insidious programming that was being pushed into children at a very young age. And this is the extremes they go to, folks. They literally program people with every opportunity that they can. And television and movies are, of course, some of the most readily consumed form of programming that there is on the planet, and some of the messages that are contained within television and movies are remarkable, folks. The subtext that exists in these media is absolutely phenomenal. Of course, they tell you what's going on very much as well. You notice there's a new film coming out soon called Lucy, which shows what can happen if you can bring all of your senses online. You can literally control reality. There's another movie that was out recently called Divergent, which suggests that once you are able to control your fear, then you are not able to be controlled. So they tell you what's going on with all of these films, folks. They really tell you how reality works, and they tell you what you're capable of. But they present it to you in a format and a medium which is unbelievable and makes it unbelievable and suggests to you that you are only able to achieve these types of reality through enhancements, chemical enhancements or transhumanist enhancements or methods that the system may offer to you. You're not able to do it on your own. And it also makes these things appear to be larger than life, because when you see something on the screen, it's always larger than life. Things always look bigger and more real than reality when you see them on the screen. It's an amazing thing about cinema, how it achieves that effect with people. It can make fiction look more real than reality. It is quite amazing what can be done by knowing how to stimulate what senses in people. And movies have certainly taken this to a fine art. But ultimately, it's all programs, folks. It's all programming, and it's all programs that get installed into the hard drive, installed into people's subconscious. That's what the education system is. That's what the social system is. And the ultimate goal of all of this programming is to keep people divided from each other, and to also keep people divided from themselves, keep people from ever discovering their inner selves, discovering the truth of themselves, discovering the truth of what their life is about, giving them a false perspective of what life is. You know, all the dreams of success that the youth are offered, these are all dreams of things which really don't exist. Well, they don't exist the way they appear in the brochure anyway. Nothing is ever what they tell you. Nothing is ever as good as they tell you. Nothing ever leads to where they tell you it's going to lead to. Most of it is simply illusions and distractions designed to keep you divided, to keep you on the yellow brick road chasing a holy grail which does not exist. And all the while, your energy is being harvested. Your life is being harvested. Your very soul and purpose is being harvested. You're being misdirected. You're being sent down a path which is not a path of your own making. And it is not a path that will lead you to your own salvation or your own self or anything that will benefit you at all. It's a path that will benefit other people. Because we're always chasing something which doesn't exist. We're chasing the external dream that we are offered by this society. But it's not real. It's a fiction. It's a meme. It's just a red herring designed to lead you away from yourself and allow this slavery system to continue. Because that's what it is, folks. It's a slavery system. And the slave is you. The slave is me. The slave is everybody who is forced to do anything that anybody else suggests they have to do. Anybody who has to pay to be alive, anybody who has to operate according to parameters that are not of their own making, is a slave. And that's what this system is. And the system throws so much stuff at you, ladies and gentlemen. Even with what's going on with my friend in Western Australia, with these accusations that have been made against him by his daughter, this again is a huge distraction. Now he has to concentrate on that. He can't concentrate on himself. He can't concentrate on the art of his own life. He can't focus on attempting to bring the government under control. On another thing as well, he is also an activist, ladies and gentlemen. So he has been making a lot of noise about the corruption in the Western Australian government. And this would also suggest why his daughter has been targeted for coaching. But there's so much stuff that is done to keep the ball rolling and to keep us distracted, to make sure we're not able to ever unite as a community and not ever able to really, truly step into our power. There are so many steps that are taken. And even when we do find a way of stepping into our power, even when we are able to play the name game and step above the legal fiction, it's still just one drop in the ocean. We still have the rest of the ocean to contend with, because the rest of the ocean, if left unattended, will eventually drown the rest of the planet in its fiction. That's what it's doing. That's why we're waking up. That's what all this is about, is trying to discover some remedy, some method of dealing with the fiction. I mean, it's all very well to have personal remedy, as I've said so many times, but we need to find remedy for the collective. We need to find a way of stopping this machine from operating at all, because we cannot allow it to continue destroying the world. We just can't allow this to happen. So it's finding that. It's finding that remedy that's going to work for all. And it's finding, as I said earlier, a method of presenting this information to the world in a concise enough and easily digestible enough manner that enough people are going to be able to get it. I think even Terence McKenna once said that if the truth can be told in such a manner that people can understand it, then it will be believed. But people first have to understand what you're saying. People have to first be presented with a concept in a concise enough manner for it to be easily digestible for them. Because people are so caught up in the fiction, they're so caught up in the fictional world, they're so caught up in the concept that time is precious and time is money and that every minute counts, and they really don't have time to stop and really pay attention to what you're saying. Very often they don't anyway, or very often they just don't want to. And so you need to create some sort of a sound bite that's going to work, and you're going to be able to put it in their face, and they're just going to go, oh, wow, yeah, that makes sense. And then they may stop and listen to the rest. But it's finding that little sound bite that's going to work to begin with, something that's going to snap them out of their trance and make them want to pay attention. And that's the tricky part. And that's what I've been attempting to do with these radio shows for so many years now, folks. But, of course, they're not really sound bites, are they? Unless you would call an hour-long radio show a sound bite. Perhaps it's a very large bite. But that's the best I can do, folks. It's an hour slot, so that's what I have to do. I could, of course, construct a show that consists of 1 or 2 minute sound bites or quotes or cliches. That would be interesting. I don't know whether it would really have the desired effect. But hopefully there are some snippets of the shows that you can use. Hopefully you can get some sound bites from some of the hundreds of recordings that are there on the Crow House. There really are quite a lot there now, folks. There's been shows have been posted there virtually every week since 2008. So there are quite literally hundreds of shows to choose from. And I'm sure there is something there that's going to work. Well, I hope so anyway. Or perhaps you could construct your own sound bites, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you could put together a little 15-minute video clip consisting of sound bites from all sorts of people. There's got to be something that we can do that's going to cause the penny to drop. And I think that every effort that everybody makes, it all contributes, folks. It all makes a difference. That's how we do it. It's lots of little drops in the ocean. We just have to be prepared to put that effort into it. We just have to be prepared to act. That's why I've done what I've done, folks, and that's why I've done it the way I have, because I want people to understand that I'm not anybody special. I'm just a normal person out there who was prepared to speak. That's the point of the whole exercise. That's why I never wanted my face out there. That's why I tried to remain anonymous for so long, and I managed to remain anonymous for so long, because I wanted people to understand that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about a cult of personality. It wasn't about what I look like. It wasn't about who I am. What it was about was that a normal, everyday person was prepared to speak, and that if a normal, everyday person was prepared to speak and did choose to speak out, then they could make a difference simply by choosing to do so. And that's why I did it, folks. And that was always the point for people to see, was that I'm not anybody special. I'm just like everybody else. That's the point of the whole exercise. The point is that you don't have to be anybody special. You just have to be prepared to speak, prepared to make a stand, prepared to stand in the power of who and what you are. If people do that, then they can make a difference by default. They just do. Just by being in that energetic state, you make a difference. Because that's all I've done, folks. I've been in that energetic state and I've made a difference. And look, I haven't always got it right. I've messed up. I've stumbled. Of course I have. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm not a guru. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader. I'm just me. I'm just a person offering their perspective to the rest of the world because that's the best I can do. That's the best I have to offer. So you shouldn't doubt yourself, folks. You should never doubt yourself. You should never doubt your ability to make a difference. You should never doubt your ability to make your voice heard. And you should never doubt the importance of your voice. You should never doubt the importance of speaking out. Making the choice to speak out. It's making the choice that's the important part. You know, just that choice, folks, that controlling your fear enough to make the decision to speak out and to speak your truth and to stand in the power of your heart, to stand in the power of your flesh, and to lead by example in what you do and be a shining light in your community. That makes a huge difference. Just changing your energy to the point where you can do that makes a huge difference. It really does. It changes the energetic field around you because it's all energy. It's all bad energy. Everything is bad energy. And you changing your energetic state makes all the difference, not only to your world, but to the world in which you live. You know, it does, folks. It really does. That's what it's all about. That's why they work so hard to harvest your energy, because it's all about energy. Energy is the all-important stuff of the universe. That's really what it's all about. That's what this whole matrix is designed to control, your energy. And that's why it's so important for you to realize what reality is and realize the power that this energy holds for you. You know, I've often said to you folks that everything is energy. I've done whole shows on the energetic nature of reality, and everything is energy. And this includes emotion. Emotion is one of the most important energies there is. It really is. Emotion is what controls reality more than anything else. And what controls this reality is the emotion of fear, because that is the state that most people in this world are in. 99.9% of people on this planet are in the emotional state of fear. Whether they admit it to themselves or not, they are. It's always there, dripping in the back of their minds, this constant fear that something is going to go wrong. And that's what people need to overcome, because once people do, then they're going to find that they're going to be able to change reality very, very quickly. It's all about energy, folks. It's always been about energy. And once we realize that and we change our energetic state, change the internal energy that we use to drive our being, change this and we change the world. That's how it works. It's often been said, folks, that if you change the inner world, you can change the outer world. And people don't really know how it works, but that is how it works. You change that energetic state. You change your perspective of who and what you are, and then you apply it to the world around you, and the world changes. Because just by doing so, you infect the people around you with that energy. You do it. It's a contagious thing. When you become empowered, you really do empower those around you, and it creates this exponential wave that just flows out from that point. We all have the ability to do this. We just have to apply ourselves. And that's what this time is, and that's why people need to wake up to the reality of what they are and apply themselves to the world at large. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you for all the kind letters and all the kind emails that you send me. It's a pleasure to read your stories. But that is it for me, folks. We are now completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. And never doubt yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because you do have the power. In Lakesh.